Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, okay, now is an interesting, we're talking about lashing the fellow around Chaf Gimel Amid Aleph and Makas, right about near about 10 lines from the bottom. Shmuel says, Kafsu, what if they tied him to the post? They're ready to give him the lash, and somehow he does Houdini. He gets himself out of the post and runs. Runs away. Now, you're not going to like this. I mean, Paw Tor, he's exempt from receiving any more lashes.
So that means whoever that tries to run away.
Now, wait a minute.
That just encourages him to run away.
That's right. At this point, let's see the commentary. At this point, the Gemara apparently understands the basis for Shmuel's ruling as follows. This is only the beginning. We're not finished. As we will see below, once the Malkus process has begun, and the person's been demeaned by it, if it is interrupted, we do not resume it. Let's say if the guy couldn't hold himself in, it's already a demeaning of the person, right? The Gemara now assumes, this is the assumption, that even being bound to the whipping post constitutes being demeaned. Thus, if the Malkus process is interrupted by his escape, he's not lashed when he's recaptured. So that's what Gemara is assuming at this moment. So that's what Shmuel is saying, because it's also the whole process is demeaning. When was the last time you had yourself tied to a lashing post? All right, that is also a very demeaning thing. But so that's what he originally says. Gemara says more questions that. So Meisavei, they ask a question from a Braisa. He says, Kala, what if he soiled himself? Okay. Bein Berishona, whether this happened the first time the guy raised the whip to strike him. Bein Bishnia, whether it happened the second time and after. Meaning, whether the attendant has not hit him at all and he lost control as a bodily function out of sheer fear. In other words, the guy's ready to give it. The guy's ready, and then boom, he can't, right? Or whether the attendant has already hit him. Peturin also. That exempts him from receiving any more lashes because he's ready, embarrassed himself. Okay, Bryce continues. Nivsika Ritsua, but if the strap broke, okay, then if this happened, so now what happens? Bishnia, the second time he raised the whip, Poteroso, he is exempt from remaining lashes if it broke. But Berishona, but the first time he raised the whip and he didn't hit him yet, and it breaks, ain't poncher no so. He's not exempt, and he has to get the lashes. Again, if the guy loses bodily control before or after the lashing, he's off the hook. If the whip breaks, if after he got some lashes, he's exempt. But if he didn't get any lashes, he's not exempt. So now, that's a brisa. You can't argue with the brisa. So now, going back to ask on Shmuel, so according to you, Shmuel, why should he not be exempt even if the lashing whip broke before he lashed him, right? Even if it broke the first time, it shouldn't be any different according to you, Lahavi Karatz. It should be like the guy who ran away from the Besen. According to you, if the guy ran away from Besen and you're exempt, if that's reason enough to exempt him, so when the guy's raising up the lashing thing, that's also should be enough, right? According to Shmuel, if the Malkus process is interrupted at the point of the binding to the post, it's still considered it's already been demeaned and he's exempt from getting with the process. So if the interruption occurred at the later stage, after he's been tied up and the attendant raises the whip, he should be exempt. So that's the question on Shmuel's point. Okay? So the Gemara answers, it's still not the same. Hassam Ratz, Shmuel would answer, well, there he ran. He showed he was a chicken. But Hacha, Lo Ratz. But here, he didn't run. Okay, what does the Gemara think this means? In Shmuel's case, it is the flight from the court that is a demeaning experience. And it's because of this degradation that he's exempt. It's not so much tied to the post. In the beginning, we thought it was tying to the post was the degradation. But running scared and chicken is a demeaning thing. Not because it is considered as if he's already been demeaned when he's bound to the post. Thus, in the Bryce's case, when the strap broke before he was even hit, he has not been demeaned and he's not exempt. Very interesting. The Gemara, this is the point. The Gemara answers that the base of Shmuel's exemption is different than what we originally thought. The sinner is bound to the post and then fled is not exempt. That's not what Shmuel meant. Because it's not the tying to the post that makes the difference. Because the Malka's process was interrupted and we can reckon as being bound to the post as a meaning. That's what they thought it was. Though that's not true. Rather, it's exempt because by running away from the best and under these circumstances, he has disgraced himself, just in the case where he soils himself. Okay, you hear what's going on. You have to remember, there was a day where men were men.
Yeah.
A man's a man, you know? And, you know, you face up to your punishment.
Right.
And if you run away, that itself shows what kind of a weak person you are and a scaredy cat that you are, and you're not responsible for what you do.
Well, that's why you're receiving the lashes. You're not.
I understand, but if you run away, that shows you're a chicken. That shows you're a chicken.
Of course.
In today's world, we have a whole different screwed up way of looking at life. Our way of life is, you know, we're all chickens, and we don't want to do nothing. We don't stand up for anything, don't do anything, and if I can get out of anything, I do it. And I don't want to be responsible for what I've done. Okay, but that's not the Torah way of looking at a person should look at life. You know, you did something wrong, you got to take responsibility for it. And you get lashed, and that's demeaning, and now you're okay. If you're running away, that shows you how, what really, you know, when a guy does an Avera, it's like, I don't care what God says, I'm not scared. Then when it's time to get your punishment for it, you show what kind of scaredy cat you are. And that itself is very demeaning. And the truth is, the Gemara is assuming most people would be man enough to get the punishment that they deserve. And if the guy's running away, You know how it is, even in the Goyish world, you know, when macho guys, they dare each other. I dare you to do that. Chicken, chicken, chick, 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 right?
Women.
You know, why can't you do, dare you, double dare you, and if you don't do it, you're a chicken, you're this and that, and you lower your status. So the same thing over here, if a person runs away, they're showing how demeaning they are. So that's the point. Yeah, you know, if you guys are looking at your uproar was, he's getting away with it, right? Yeah. He's getting away with the lashes, but he's not, even for the rest of his life, people look at him, chicky, chicky, couldn't even. Hey, you live afterwards, you're living with it. He goes to shul the next day. Oh, heard you were bezin yesterday. Couldn't take it, eh?
It's already
not such a tough guy after all.
What
about
a woman?
Right. So, well, same thing with a
woman. Macho.
Same, well, or just, but the same idea. Now I'll ask a question, though. Okay, now the Gemara asks, why is the person, so that's good, so you understand the difference. If the lash didn't happen yet, what was the demeaning? Running away, that's demeaning. So now the commentaries ask, why is the person exempt if he is lashed once and then the strap breaks? Rivan explains that this is because a single lash is also demeaning. However, all the preparations until it's actually struck are not necessarily demeaning. Thus, if the strap breaks after he has been hit, he's been degraded and he's exempt from anything further. But if it breaks before he has been hit, then he's not been degraded and he's not exempt. So it comes out, according to the Gemara at this point, all the preparatory parts of the lashing, everything up to and including the lash, is not considered demeaning. That's what we're concluding.
Yeah.
Now, once he's lashed, it's already demeaning, even after one lash. If he soils himself, that already is demeaning, even before he gets lashed. If he runs away, that's also demeaning. So, in other words, whatever the Bezdin does in preparation, none of that is demeaning. If the person now does something to show his own cowardice, that is demeaning. And once you get the first lash, now Bezdin's done something enough that would be demeaning for him as well. That's how it comes out over here. Okay, last part. Remember we said the Bezdin evaluated and then things changed on the evaluation if they stop or not. So Bryce is going to elaborate on this point. Tana Rabban, Amduhu, they assessed first, Lesheke Sheyilka Kola. They judged the guy that if he's going to get lashed, he's going to soil himself. But once he gets the first lash, I guess they could. The guys could figure out. The guy's shaking. He's nervous. He's and how much is it going to hurt? How much is it going to hurt? You know, whatever. I guess there's a psychiatrist over there. They're analyzing. But, you know, once he gets that first lash, he's going to soil himself, right? The text reads, Kola, he soiled himself in the past tense, but it's amended by the Bach to say he will soil himself. Fine. So they figure once he gets a lash, he's going to soil himself. Look at this. Poaching also, they exempt him from any lashes. Why? For the Torah prohibits them to give him lashes that would cause him immediate humiliation. Immediate humiliation. The source of this law is the verse, lest he continue to strike him, and your brother will be demeaned. We may not administer lashes that will cause him to be demeaned immediately.
What?
What
lash?
You can't directly demean him. Now, especially on the first, when everything's been done, okay. But just right in the beginning, to be demeaned immediately, the Torah is saying you can't do that right away. On the other hand, they evaluate Likashiyate save if he's in color, but if they assess him that he would soil himself only after leaving the Besdin, after he got the 39 lashes, then if you're after that he's gonna soil himself, then Malkin I say, then they do give him the lashes. Okay? The Lord, and not only that, Elafilu Kala Bitrila, even if he soiled himself before the actual lashing begins, whoa. Malkin also, they lash him.
Whoa,
that's a little bit different than the other opinion. I know, well, it's, I guess a different opinion. Shenemar, as it says, v'hikahu v'nikla. It says, and he shall strike him, lest he continue to strike him, and your brother will be demeaned. As cited earlier, this last phrase is a source of law that one who has been demeaned is exempt from Malkus versus humiliation. This implies the exemption is applied only if the sequence of the verse is followed that you have lashed him. So I guess they're learning different than the other opinion.
You can't continue unless you've done at least one.
Yeah.
Right, you have to do at least one.
Right, yeah. But if we evaluate that it won't happen until we're finished, then you finish it.
Who's going to judge whether he's been demeaned immediately or not? How do you judge that?
I don't know. You have to ask a psychiatrist for this. I don't know.
This is so...
I don't know.
Gray area.
And also, velo shalok kvar bezdin, but not if he has previously been demeaned in Besdin before receiving the lashes. In other words, humiliation can accept the guilty party only after the Malkus procedure has started. If he was demeaned earlier, he is not exempted.
Well, then doesn't mean that he's
okay.
Now.
One second. Hang on, guys. Look, remember you guys had this question. Look, 53. This brisa that says one is not exempt if he soiled himself before his lashes is clearly in contradiction to the brisa above. That says one is exempt if he soiled himself when the attendant first raised whip before he's hit. So now it's a machlokas in the brises. So that therefore you guys were, whoa, what's going on? So it's two different brises. However, Mishnah Lamelech attempts to reconcile the brises and offer two approaches, one of which is mentioned by Likutei Halachos here. Both brises are discussing cases where he soiled himself before he was lashed. The brisa says he's still obligated to receive lashes, speaking of where he soiled himself before the attendant raised his arm. The second brisa says the exempt is speaking of where he soiled himself after the attendant raised his arm. So that's, they say, is different. However, okay, that's one answer. A difficult issue that continues to emerge in our Gemara is the type and the timing of degradation that exempts someone from Malkus. The brisa above exempts a person who soils himself before the first blow while the agent's arm is raised. Shmuel exempts a person at an even earlier stage if he runs away from the post where he's bound. And Rivan mentions an even earlier point suggested that a faulty assessment could be sufficient degradation to exempt him. Okay? So, additionally, Rivan considers even a single lash to be demeaning even to exempt him from further lashes. If so, the obvious question arises, how can a person ever have been given a series of lashes?
Right, yeah.
As soon as he receives one lash, he's demeaned.
Yeah.
And exempt any further.
Right. Yeah.
The answer is that whenever there's an interruption in the Malkus process, we look at the sinner anew and consider to be our brother because he has been degraded by one or more lashes. Similarly, when a person runs away from Besdin or when he soils himself, the Malkus process is interrupted. He's then considered anew, reckoned as a brother and exempt from further lashes. So what he's saying is, when there's a pause in the action, So if they give him 39 lashes and he doesn't react, so there's no pause in the action. It's just one straight action. When it's over, in other words, there's a pause, that's now the completion of the demeaning. So if he's a strong guy, he's not scared, they give him 39 lashes. When we walk away, now he's been demeaned. If the guy soils himself after one lash, first of all, we got to pause. Anyway, we don't keep lashing while he's soiled. Yeah, he has to clean himself up. I mean, that's already, right? Gets one lash, boom, he lets it all out. We just keep lashing him. So, okay, so that we're stopping. At that point, he already has been demeaned. That's the point we're saying. So the common thread is when there's a stop, then we've seen there's been a demeaning that has occurred.
For any reason, stop.
But a reason that shows he's been demeaned.
If the whip breaks, that's a stoppage.
But that's after one lash. Remember, after one lash. So that's already something's happening. So running away, soiling himself, that already we stopped the process, even temporarily, mm-hmm. and that already he's been demeaned. Yeah. One lash was received, and now the lash breaks, we stop, he's been demeaned. While we're on a roll, so to speak, boom, 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 no stop. There's no demeaning yet till we finished. So it's other way, it's how the person appears once we stopped lashing for whatever reason.
You know.
Again, but Ace, you could, and you're going to bear that shame the rest of your life.
Yeah. He really sinned, so he's not that...
You know, and then I guess maybe they can assess if the guy's faking it. You can tell when a person is going through trauma or when he's faking it. I think it's hard. You have to be a real good poker player to be able, you know, you could tell when a person is in trauma. Somebody dies and you're in the hop. You could see the people are in trauma. I mean, they can't control themselves. Or let's say, you know, when you take one of your younger children to go on one of the scary rides in the amusement park. Right? So my wife went with one of our grandchildren to that slide, that water park. So she goes with the grandchild. You walk all the way up. It's like 2-3 flights, you know. And now you got to go down, and the kid just chickened out. But you could tell when the kid's going through.
What are you
going
to do at that point?
No, it's had to go down. You go down. You go down the stairs. Okay, but I'm just saying, you could tell when the person's you could tell when a person's in trauma. Okay, if the guy's an amazing actor, you know, the guy will just say, I'm scared.
No.
That's not going to... But I'm saying so, but... So they can tell who's a faker, who's not a faker. A psychiatrist really is supposed to be able to tell when a person's faking it or when it's real. And, you know, a good private investigator would also be able to do that. That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea of when you try an interrogator. That's supposed to be the skill of an interrogator. Does he really know or does he not know?
Is he lying or not?
They can tell when the guy is really telling the truth or not. So I couldn't do it, but there's people who are very well qualified.
So, Rabbi, what happens if you have five sets of lashes and you chicken out
again? You give it a. You usually don't do it one after the other.
I know.
You give one lash, you come back a week later.
They chicken out just before. How is it going to help the second time? It's obviously the same situation.
It's possible. Again, you have to know. You have to realize for the person to go through that trauma itself is a punishment. If you're a strong guy and you're fearless, you're a big strong guy, you're mechutzav, you're a bar brawler.
Yes.
You take the 39 like a man. Okay, it is demeaning. It is still demeaning, but if the other guy is trembling and shaking, do you understand? He's already gone through so much trauma, just getting ready to go there. That itself is a tremendous punishment. The mental anguish is not to be a small thing. So a guy is not, if he's not really having mental anguish, why is he going to run away?
Did this happen in biblical times?
I don't know.
No record of that.
I don't know.
Question, Rabbi, is it all sets of lashes that he's putter from? So let's say he did 3 of arrows in one.
Maybe. If he runs away, soils himself, things like that, it could.
So that it's for all of the others.
It could be because we can't give him more.
When did this practice stop from?
When there was no more smicha given to the rabbis, so it technically could have happened even after. It's when there was no longer Sanhedrin. So that was only a few hundred years after the second base of Mishnah was destroyed. Then there was no Sanhedrin. So they could do that. I don't know how often they did it. I don't see any. There's no stories in the Gemara. Isn't there? There's so many stories about lending money and this and that and fight. But it's not a story. Rav Huna was lashing so-and-so and he soiled his pants and then they did it. We don't seem to have any Gemaras on that. I guess the Gemara was better off not mentioning those stories. Okay. Next Mishnah. Next topic. Okay, now what about the kapara that lashes offers? There's supposed to be some benefit for this. So here we go. Kol chayove krisus shiloku. Now there's different punishments for different averes. Remember, you get lashed for transgressing negative prohibitions. Okay? So now what if that negative prohibition, the punishment, the Torah writes is kares? It's kares. And you're warned beforehand. So, okay, there is kares, but now you got the lashes for that. So now, if he did a punishment that normally comes with kares, but now it also has lashes, remember that was a whole discussion we had, do you give lashes when there's a chayiv misa? Oh, that was a whole discussion way back in the first section. But anyway, so if, and now you get lashed, nifteru yedei krisusum, you now exempt yourself from having the kares. In other words, if you did an avera, and kares means you're spiritually cut off, which is a very terrible punishment to have. That means the mitzvahs you do, God doesn't really reckon them worth very much. You're very much cut off from your soul. It's a very bad place to be. Once you get the lashes, that's the kapara, and it erases the kares. Assuming you did tshuva, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You did tshuva. Now, and the same applies if he's liable to misa b'dei shamayim. You eat truma. Truma, zor, who eats truma, is misa b'dei shamayim. That's just an example. Once you get the lashing, you're off the hook. Now, since kares is a graver punishment than death at the hands of heaven, it stands to reason that if Malchus exempts one from kares, it certainly should exempt one from the death of the hand of heaven. Kares is much worse than misa b'dei shamayim. Misa b'dei shamayim means, okay, God would want you to die. Maybe you'll die earlier. But it's still not kares. It's not you're spiritually cut off. So we're telling you lashes undoes the kares. It certainly will undo misa b'dei shamayim. Now, let's see. We got, whoa. Mm-hmm. Let's see what's going on here. Now, he's just explaining it. So, okay, but we can. It's good to go through again. Kares, literally cutting off or excision, is the destruction of the soul. See, Rashi, quoting to Tarskani, entails both the permanent premature death of a sinner and the loss of his future generations, which usually means he'll die before 50, and a lot of his children will die. Okay, what do? To do it? Okay, it's a whole discussion. I don't want to get into that. Premature death is death at the ages of 50 through 59, or even the ages of 60 through 69 if the death is sudden. Okay, I'm sorry. So it was age of 50, I mean in his 50s. So 50 through 59 is any death, and 60 to 69 if he dies suddenly.
79.
To 79, I'm sorry, 79.
Long time.
Okay. Loss of future generation means that if he has children, he will bury them. If he does not have children, he will continue to be childless. Tosfos writes, it's exclusively young children who are affected by their father's kares, not adult children. There's a question whether Rashi agrees with you, etc. There are many instances of kares-bearing sins that for one reason or another do not warrant malchus. Not every kares gets malchus. Our Mishnah is concerned with those that do receive malchus. Rambam counts 21 negative commandments punished with kares and malchus, 18 negative commandments punished with death at the hand of heaven and Malchus. That puts you up to what? 39, yeah? And 168 negative commandments, of which one is liable only to Malchus. Mm. Okay, so some things only get lashes. Torah didn't write anything about Kares, or Torah doesn't write anything about Misa B'dei Shamayim. The total number of commandments which one receives Malchus is 207. Now that's interesting. How many negative commandments? You only can get, well, there's 365 negative commandments.
Right.
So you already see it's not even close to that. It's only 207. There's 207 different crimes you can get lashed for. The numerical value of the words Yilku Zedim, may the willfully wicked be lashed, is equal to 207. Interesting hint in the Torah. There's also numerical value of the word Rabbah in the phrase in Malchus Maka Rabbah, great. That's 207. Resh Beis is 207. Okay, now, so again, so you've got, again, what's the numbers over here? You got 168 Lavim that just get Malchus, and then you said 21 that get Karesa Malchus, and 18 get death in the hands of God in Malchus. So we're worrying about these 39 that it takes that off. Now, the atonement of Malchus is accomplished only if the transgressor repents. It is the combination of repentance and Malchus that exempts him. Marlbach explains that repentance by itself is not sufficient, because the Gemara Yoma states, if you remember, it talks about different levels of sins. It says, for chorus-bearing transgressions, repentance in Yom Kippur only suspends his punishment, while suffering eradicates it. Okay? Our Mishnah teaches that Malchus serves in lieu of both suffering and Yom Kippur. Hence, those who have been lashed and have repented their sin are exempt from chorus. So now, if we are doing those averos, those 39 averos, that are supposed to get kores or death at heaven and last. So nowadays, what does that mean? You got to do tshuva. You have to have Yom Kippur, and that's where the suffering comes in. You understand? There's certain, these 39 averos that we're talking about, and really, well, really all of them that have lashes. Yeah, but we say, no, we say the ones that carry kares, you also have to suffer on top of it. So we don't have lashes now.
Exempt you or that eradicates?
Suffering will eradicate it. If it's a classical kares, a classical kares that you come with eating it, let's say eating treif, eat chalev, it comes with kares. You get kares for that, right? So now, you whatever. So now you understand why when a person has a good Yom Kippur and did real good tshuva, they're wondering, how come I'm having such a terrible year? How come I broke my leg, whatever, lost a lot of money, whatever. So what happened? I thought I davened good. The answer is you did. You davened great, and Hashem is accepting it all. But you know, in the olden days, you would have got lashed for this. So now that's in the place of the lashes.
Some people still lash for you.
Yeah, it's just token. It's not a. In regard to whether a person was liable to chorus, may not, but not to Malchus. Somebody says chorus and no lashes. It's chorus, but there's no lashes because it was a positive thing. Anyway, may undergo Malchus voluntarily to exempt. Can you volunteer? Okay, can you please give me lashes? Right? This was one of the hotly contested issues at the heart of the attempted reinstitution of Sanhedrin in the era of Marei Beirav and the Marlbach in the 1500s. It arose in response to the desire for atonement among those that lived in Spain during the period of Inquisition, believed that they had sinned. It's a whole discussion on that. Anyway, that's the first line of the Mishnah. So we're going to continue that tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem.